We welcome you to this service for the fourth Sunday of Easter of Calvary Lutheran Church. We remind you to continue to keep your support of our mission of the month going. We will introduce more extensively next time our mission of the month for May, which is the NALC disaster response. We also wish for you to hold in your prayer several families in our congregation. First of all, to Lisa and Scott Grossman, who received the news of the passing of Lisa's father, Robert, this past week. Please hold them in your prayers. We rejoice that Brad Meyer's mother, Betty, underwent surgery, and it was successful earlier in this week. Please continue to remember her for recovery. Cindy Rooks' close friend, Cheryl Gordon, has been diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. We ask you to hold Cheryl and her family and Cindy and her family in your prayers. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, your Son cares for your people as a shepherd cares for his sheep, calling us each by name. Grant that we may hear and recognize his voice, and, following him, be brought safely through every trial and temptation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray responsively Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So good.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi, everyone. It's Miss Mary here. Now, normally at this time of year, I'd be going to school, but I'm at home, just like all of the rest of you, and I thought that I would help out doing the children's message this week. I really miss seeing all of your smiling faces, but this is still a pretty good way to talk to all of you. So today, the psalm we talked about was Psalm 23, which some of you might know. It's a super fun psalm that starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, that's kind of weird. Why would we call God a shepherd? Well, you guys know what a shepherd is. Some of you even played shepherds in the Christmas pageant. Shepherds have been around for a long time. Almost 6,000 years. That's crazy. A shepherd's most important job was to protect his sheep. He led them to water, brought them to places to eat, and made sure that they were safe and well taken care of. If a sheep got lost, a shepherd would go find it and bring it back, even if it meant leaving the other sheep to find the lost one. The shepherd was incredibly loyal and protective of his sheep. So in the psalm we were talking about, we called God our shepherd, and I asked why. When we say, "The Lord is our shepherd," we're saying that God is our protector. He, like a shepherd, makes sure that no matter what, we end up safe and sound. Right now, I know that things are a little bit scary. But when we talk about God as our shepherd, helping us and protecting us, it's a little less scary. God helps us, watches over us, and keeps us safe. I miss you guys a lot, and I hope you're staying safe and healthy. Let's end with a Pray After Mary prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Please help us to remember that you are our shepherd and will keep us safe. In your name we pray and play. Amen. Have a good week, guys, and I hope I get to see you soon.
The image of a good shepherd, though not explicitly stated in Psalm 23, would have been uncommon if not unheard of in David's time. David was a shepherd. That is how he is introduced to us in 1 Samuel 16. So David knew what they did. Shepherds were nearly as common on the hills of ancient Israel as blades of grass. But the sort of shepherd most people thought of, and which David had in mind in writing this psalm, was not a man who looked after animals, but men who ruled as kings. In the ancient Near East, kings were routinely called shepherds, and kings were powerful, but they were not kind. They were self-serving, not servants. David is taking liberties by invoking a shepherd as a suitable image for God. Psalm 23 is a confession of faith, almost like a personal testimony. Because kings in those days asked their subjects to take oaths of loyalty, David does precisely that, declaring who he is loyal to, his God, and why. David became a king himself, one of Israel's best. But the biblical record of his rule shows he didn't live up to the standard of good shepherd either. David once served in the court of King Saul of Israel until a fit of jealousy drove Saul to try to do away with David. David is therefore under no illusion about kings. He knows them in general, and he knows himself. He could write an insider's book on kings and their courts, a real tell-all tale of compromise and deal-making and the like. Therefore, it shows considerable humility on his part to confess that he needed a better shepherd for his own soul. And so, while this psalm takes aim at kings, it also takes aim at us, asking where our loyalty is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yet we do want, all the time, don't we? We want comfort and order and safety and popularity and wealth and, well, let's state the obvious, we want out of our confinement and we want our normal lives back. To be human is to want, to seek until we are satisfied. Jesus, in our lesson from John 10, talks about how he came to give us life in abundance. What he meant is he came to satisfy our wants, to replace the thirst for something we don't have with the belief that in Jesus we have everything. A definition of hell I once heard said that it was a place or state of being in which we want all the time, even get what we want, but it never satisfies. In Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 50, Jesus is warning his listeners about temptation and likens hell to that place where the fire never goes out. What he means, I believe, is that want is never quenched. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Especially from the lips of a man, David, who as king could and often did help himself to whatever he wanted, this is a powerful reminder, as Jesus says to us in Matthew 6:33, about seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. What a wonderful existence the psalm pictures for us, to be satisfied with God above all things. This teaching about want continues in the next part of the verse. It's reinforced in the words, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." We commonly think of that phrase as a picture of repose or rest, and that is all right. David the shepherd would have known what a delight it was to find a lush field to rest in the midst of a long day. But David, in this psalm, by making God his shepherd, is obviously making of himself a sheep. David the shepherd knew that sheep were not much different than humans. Put them unshepherded in a field of green, lush grass, and the critters would practically eat themselves into a stupor. Good shepherds knew that in a place of plenty, there is plenty of want. So, shepherds had to sit his charges down lest they indulge their appetites to death, and then lead them on. It's hard to live among abundance and not want it. This is where the psalm turns from, as it were, a confession of our weakness or our sin, our tendency to want and want and want, to a confession of faith in God, who gives and gives and gives. Here the psalm blossoms into one promise after another, and they keep getting better and better, foreshadowing our life with Christ. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. If I had but one word to describe that phrase, it would be forgiveness. God quiets a restless heart through his Christ and says, like our Lord Jesus did to the wind and the waves churning up a wild sea, "Shh, be still, quiet down. Your life is wrapped in my forgiving grace." He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here you see the Lord doesn't just lead us out of sin's accusations, but into a way of life that oozes confidence in God's ways over ours. Remember, David knew full well the self-serving ways of the kings of his day. He imbibed himself in those pleasures of plenty. Nothing satisfied. So God shows us something that does. A way of life where you discover you gain when you give, and where you find your greatness and uniqueness the way Jesus found his, in being a servant of others. No one is much going to pat you on the back for doing that. In this day and age, we'd be getting off easy if all people did was scratch their heads and wonder at us Christians. But the psalm tells us plain and simple what a Christ-like life earns us. A world that wants to do away with you, trample you, dismiss you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says. Allow me a couple of personal recollections of this very thing, not by way of boasting, but because it kind of took me by surprise. Just a few years into our marriage, Marcella and I had scrounged up enough money to start saving and investing, and we filled out a form for our advisor telling her where our monthly income was going. To my wife's credit, a matter of first importance was our giving, but evidently our advisor's assistant thought we were doing too much, so she called to verify the figure I'd put down, all but convinced I'd added a zero to the end, and couldn't help but feel she hung up, leaving me the impression that they couldn't do much wealth building if all we were doing was wealth giving away. Then, a few years later, when the Lord put on our hearts to leave our careers and try our hands at being missionaries to Tanzania, I got an exasperated phone call one evening from my cousin's husband, wondering what the you-know-what I was thinking, leaving a career with my prime earning years just around the corner. But the sober recognition in this psalm that the world won't understand or think too kindly of a Christian life is coupled with a pure-as-gold promise for believers. I will fear nothing, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. The Lord Jesus never leads us to a place, the popular saying goes, where his grace cannot keep us. Well, that is pretty well expressed by this psalm. You see, the Good Shepherd doesn't just point. He accompanies. But it gets even better, which, as I say, with Jesus, it always does. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Our gospel today, John 10:10, says, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, if you'll excuse me, here is where I think our Lord in the psalm is showing off a bit. By that, I mean he takes us and sits us down to feast right in front of those who the psalm calls enemies. In Hebrew, a word best understood as those who do not wish me well, who wish to see me fail, who would extract from me blessings I have received. The Christian life to which the Lord leads will not go unnoticed unless we let it, unless we stop living it. And then those enemies, by their mocking or glaring or insulting, or in the case of real persecution afflicting bodily, need to see that we have a cup of blessing just running over the edges, spilling out everywhere, Jesus Christ, full of mercy for those he loves, correcting and bumping our butts if need be with that staff of the Holy Spirit, but never letting us go unaccompanied through this world. And if you want another image, think of how in our confession of faith we say he descended into hell. That's all the picture you need. Our Savior, our Good Shepherd, announcing to Satan himself, it's over. These sinners are mine, not yours. And where does it lead? Where does all this setting down and guiding and protecting take us? Well, like I said, the psalm saves the best for last, just like our Christ. It leads us into the house of the Lord forever. Even though this world shows us no favors, churns up our wants with its empty promises, even though it succeeds more than occasionally and our sinful selves make a mess of things, What does God do? He leads his sheep home. Through the din we hear his voice and follow. Nothing can snatch us from him. He's got that rod, after all, and knows how to use it. No comfort to those who hate us, by the way. But he's also got those arms of mercy. In them you belong. To them you will dwell. Forever. Amen.
Profess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you are our good shepherd, and you know our every need. May our trust in your goodness and mercy not wane, even when the trials of life may threaten to overtake us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Continue to draw us into ever deeper fellowship with one another by the power of your Spirit. May we be united around our common bond in Christ, and so seek to share our lives together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for believers around the world who suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel. Give them grace to stand firm in their confession of faith, and comfort them with an awareness of your presence, trusting that Christ also endured unjust suffering and continues to suffer with them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, you have so formed us for yourself that our hearts are restless until we rest in you. May we who seek to rest in you witness to the world that you are the only source of abundant life, and only you can lead our burdened souls to green pastures and still waters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all the children of our congregation, especially as they struggle to understand our current situation. Fill their hearts with your peace, and cause their faith to flourish as they trust your love. Give courage and patience to parents and all those providing for their physical and spiritual needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort those who mourn, especially Lisa and Scott Grossman, and their family as they grieve the death of Lisa's father, Robert. Uphold them by your love as they draw strength from Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are afflicted or distressed in any way, who are facing disease or loneliness, financial distress or anxiety in their profession. Pour out your healing mercies upon those whose bodies ache or who struggle with illness. Especially we pray for Cindy Rook's friend, Cheryl Gordon, in her battle with cancer, and for Brad Meyer's mom, Betty, as she recovers from surgery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.